If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. Let's see if I can survive a podcast with an angry Brad Sturdy and a nuclear meltdown Kedrick Prince. Wait for 1 minute and I'll be back, I hope.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. That's 800-425-1161.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
And welcome to Eye on the Illini. Of course, this is Mike Kegley, and as promised, I've got Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince sitting next to me. We are we're kind of in awe of watching the Illini get beat on a game that they had a 10-point lead with 2.5 minutes left to go in the game. Didn't score any more field goals the rest of the way. Just a really very interesting game, I guess, you know, for Illini fans. And we got to watch Nick Kern be the next in a long list of people we've never heard of who go off against the Illini. You know, the Illini go down to a defeat, the second really bad loss in the Big Ten of similar circumstances on the road at Michigan State. And you had two teams down, what you thought were down for the count, and you let them back in the game. Brad, we're gonna test the limits of your patience first, then we'll go to Ked, who still hasn't said anything, so we're not certain what's gonna happen when he gets on.
It's just an awful loss. I mean, you were up, you know, we've said 10 points, 2.5 minutes. They were up 7 points and had the ball with a minute to go in the game. They were up 7 points with the ball, took a shot at 40 seconds and lost. I mean, it's almost inconceivable to lose this basketball game in an era when you can't advance the ball. All you have to do is be able to inbound the basketball. It's time to figure out how to inbound the basketball. It's time to not throw the ball to the other team. It's time to make free throws. I mean, you go over and over, this team just does not, they're not competitive. You know, they turn it over against a trap. They had to use both their timeouts, so then they don't have a timeout at the end. And it's just stunning. You foul a guy on a contested three from 24 feet. It's just terrible basketball. I mean, honestly, he's been great all year. Coleman Hawkins, this was probably the worst game of the season for him. I don't think there's any question. Three of 11 from the floor. He had five turnovers. He was 0 for 2 from the line down the stretch. Just really a rough game for him. Shannon and Damask each had four turnovers. They turned over 18 times. And this goes back to, I still don't know where Quincy Guerrier is. Ty Rogers in foul trouble. It's really stunning what I'm seeing here. This team is better than this. They're a great offensive team who just doesn't even look to try defensively half the time. And it's sad because this shouldn't happen. This is not a game they should have lost when you consider where they were. It's really bad.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't even know what to say. This is one of the toughest podcasts I've ever had to do, because I'm going to tell you, I'm hot. I'm not even going to try to pretend that I'm going to be politically correct about anything. I'll be good with my language, but I'm hot, because I don't understand how in the hell you cannot break a press. You have to be able to learn how to be able to break a press. There are too many games on college basketball that are on TV. You can scout them. You can steal them. You have to be able to get the ball in bounds. I want to say it 5 million times. That game would have been over. And ding, ding, ding. It's not a secret. They're going to trap and they're going to grab. They had 18 turnovers. I don't know if they really did, because they got away with a lot of calls, but that's the way they called it the whole game. And so either you adjust to it or you don't. You cannot make bonehead plays like that. That is one of the most disgusting losses I have seen in a long time. And what's sad, how in the hell are they giving up 80 points to everybody in the league? Everybody's scoring points on them. I get this whole analytical thing where you want to try to outscore people, but damn it, you got a guard. They were just abusing people. They were going to the basket and scoring at will. How many games have guys had career highs against Illinois? That has to change. Again, I will say this. The game was lost for me personally, with 10 minutes to go, with 10-point lead with 2 minutes to go in the game. We couldn't get the ball to Taylor Shannon or to Marcus Domas to have them shoot free throws, because we couldn't get the ball in bounds. My time would be spent. Multiple press breaks. 7 years ago, when they played Maryland in Champaign, was the first time I've ever seen an Illinois team line up with four guys out of bounds. That doesn't work. I don't get it. I can tell you right now, I will challenge anybody. You can turn the podcast off. Care can break a damn press, and I'm going to tell you, I'm a master at it. My philosophy is make them pay for pressing. Illinois just wants to get the ball in bounds and hope that they get fouled. That's what you can't do. And I'm going to tell you what, the reason why I know I'm right, Steve Bartle said it during the game, you got to punish people for doing it. This is a bad loss. The Big Ten, they're not winning it. I mean, regardless of Purdue loses again, they lost at home to Maryland, and you lose on a road to a horrible Penn State team and let guys break off career highs. This is frustrating. I know the fans are mad, and they deserve to be mad this time.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this, and it's frustrating because, I look back, and maybe you guys can lead me to the right direction here. But I look back at what Chester Frazier did as a defensive player in the past, and I look back to what Illinois' defense has done in prior years. I don't know if he's in control of defense or not, but I'd put him in control in the defense if he isn't. Because the defense is kind of optional. And even the fouls that Illinois makes, they're clearly fouls. But what you do is you foul somebody, but you do it soft. You have no chance of blocking a shot. You have no chance of stopping the shot from going up to the rim. It's just a little like kiss. And you put a guy at the line for an opportunity for either an and one or two free throws. And you're like, okay, you had no chance of blocking the shot. Why'd you do it in the first place? And some of those little things, but the inbounding of ball has been a problem for this team. And how about not going over the pick on the inbounds play three times in a row on the baseline? There's 6 points. You know, you missed 9 free throws. There's you know, a way to win it. For the first time ever, I'd say 18 turnovers is greater than 19 offensive rebounds. Brad?
I can't even fathom how bad this is. I mean, here's the thing. We talked about where Illinois had to do this in this game. You had two things you had to do, really. You had to take care of the basketball, and you had to attack the offensive glass, and you were going to score. And they scored at will. Illinois scored 89 points with 18 turnovers. Do you know how hard that is to do? I mean, when you turn the ball over 18 times and you still score 89 points, that's insane. But the other thing they had to do was somehow find a way to can do some things against, you know, defensively. I mean, this defense is so bad. I can't even fathom how I don't know how you don't decide you're going to change something. You mentioned Chester Frazier. I can't believe that he can stand for this. Illinois does nothing to make the other team uncomfortable. Make it difficult on him. Trap him. Whatever. I mean, it's do something that doesn't allow them to just, you know, get to the basket and shoot a layup or get a wide open three or get a – I mean, it's just – it's really, to me, I don't understand it. I mean, I would think – I mean, I'm not saying that anybody's a bad coach. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I don't understand how as players and coaches – where are the players – where's the pride? Like, I'm just not going to let someone score against me because they're not that overmatched athletically. Like, I'm not saying, you know, Terrence Shan's the best athlete on the floor. He can guard people. Coleman Hawkins is a fantastic defender when he wants to be. They have some guys who can play defense, but they are not collectively playing any defense. I mean, it's astonishing. I don't know whether it's a unwillingness to get tough, to be physical, to foul. But at some point, you have to figure that side of the ball out because eventually you're going to miss some shots, which is what happened, you know, occasionally. You know, you miss some shots and then you miss some free throws and then you don't score and you get some turnovers and then you're going to be bad defensively. And you mentioned the out of bounds plays. What is special about the out of bounds plays that they ran? There's nothing special. They're same out of bounds play everybody runs. I mean, yeah. They're like nothing special. And not only did they get shots, it's not like they force fed a guy and he did a double clutch and shot. They were uncontested. One was a simple screen, just a screen. The guy screened up, the guy shot a layup. I mean, that doesn't happen in junior high basketball. I mean, that shouldn't happen. No,
not three times.
It doesn't happen. I don't understand how it's even possible for that to happen. And it has to be frustrating for these guys because for some of these guys, and it has to be frustrating for the coaches, but at the same time, they got to figure out a way to get better at it. I mean, To me, I just don't understand that how they allow it to happen. Just don't let it happen. I mean, you got to guard people. You got to find a way to guard. And I get that guys are great offensively, and they're going to make some tough shots, but you can't give them all the easy ones because if you give them all the easy ones and then they make tough shots, you're in trouble.
Brad, you're my friend for life until the day I die. But I'm going to tell you, man, their philosophy is to let people score. I mean, I'm really sorry, and I'm asking you to trust me. That's their philosophy because you know damn well I watched the Maryland game last Saturday. You said try some things differently. They went to a zone once. They trapped the post. They trapped Young a few times. I saw none of that today. They just let whatever happen. Defense takes pride. You have to have some pride and some heart and effort to want to be able to guard. I cannot tell you how many times they just literally abused Justin Harmon. I mean, I'm sitting here watching the game, and I know for a fact when they pick the ball up, if you overplay, they're going back door. Why do you think the freshman got in the game today? It was because of defense, because they just kept letting it happen. I mean, they literally act like they have never seen the crap before, and I don't understand that. Because I don't care how good they are offensively. Guess what? In the field of 68, all those teams can score. They're in the tournament because they can score. And I'm going to say it again. This whole analytical thing, it's great. But they have too many good athletes. Ty Rodgers can guard. You know? And Mike, you're 100% right. I'm tired of watching the N1s. Damn it, if they're going to get a foul, they're not getting a shot up. I mean, seriously. One time I think Terrence fouled a guy. And it wasn't hard, but it was more than what the typical slap on the eyelash. And the official said something to him. The hell with that. If you're going to foul him, don't let it get up and one. Ty Rogers got a second foul in the first half by just tapping the guy on the arm. Unfortunately, that's a foul in today's game. I'm telling you, I'm really mad because I've said all year, every podcast, how good this team is. But I will say it again and again. If I'm playing Illinois and I'm watching this game, I'm pressing the hell out of them the entire game, and I'm going to make them prove to me that they can get that ball up the court. And not just to get it above the court and not just turn and tip and throw the ball away. You have to attack. And if you attack long enough, I'll tell you what, most people who listen to this podcast may not remember this, but when you press Lou Henson, I remember Tom Davis saying, because they had a press that nobody could figure out, Tom Davis never pressed Illinois the way other teams, because the Lou do made them pay for it. And until we figure this out, I will do it to them every single time.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things. We all coached AAU, and, you know, we played a top 10 team in the country, and the guy told me he was going to press us, and I said it'd take him 5 possessions to stop, and it took him 6 just because we bet $5 on it. And I'm telling you, you've got to go for the points, you know. You've got to have confidence in that. And we've all drawn up, you know, 100 different presses. I'll tell you, my father-in-law won 4 state titles in Springfield. And his thing that he always told me is there's 2 things that happen on a basketball court: what you coach your players to do and what you allow your players to do. And at this point, I think, you know, you've tried the analytics that we can just outscore everybody. And if it doesn't work against Penn State and Michigan State, it's not going to work in the tournament unless you just get the luckiest draw of all time. And do you really want to bet on that? Now Illinois looks like, you know, they'll be hard pressed now to climb into the 3 line. So now you're looking at a 4-5 game. And then what comes down the pike after that?
You're optimistic, Mike. They're not a 4-5 team. They're going to fall 6-7 line.
Well, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, but I will tell you.
Here's the thing. I'm done with them. Like, I'm over this team. Like, I'm sorry. There's no point in thinking they're going to be good because they piss everything away when they get an opportunity. They make dumb decisions. They make dumb plays over and over and over. For a veteran team, they make some of the dumbest plays I've ever seen. They take some of the worst shots. They literally took a shot with 16 on the shot clock.
Yeah.
16 on the shot clock, up by 7 in the final 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you realize how dumb that is? That's one of the dumbest shots of all time. Up by 8, I'm sorry. Why would you do that? That makes no sense at all. Oh, we're going to put the dagger. No, you're ahead. Run the clock. Get your clock. Let Terrence Shannon get downhill. See what he can do. And attack. I don't understand. I just really don't get it. And I think this team is really good in the sense that they have a lot of individual talent. They're not that good though. They're not that good. And I'll be surprised if they're above a 6 by the time the season's over. They're not beating Purdue. Let's be honest. They're not. Iowa's going to score 120 on Saturday. What makes you think they're going to suddenly start playing defense? Well, they're not. A good offensive team is just going to score at will. It's just going to, whether you can outscore them. And that's just not a good way to play. They're going to lose in the first or second round of the NCAA because that's just what they're playing like. Now, do they have the talent to turn it around? Yeah, but they haven't shown us the toughness or willingness to turn it around at this point. You mentioned press breaks. I just don't understand why. Here's the thing. If my daughter, when she was playing basketball, whether it's AAU or whatever, she turned it over the way that they turn it over, I wouldn't let her come home. Like, I mean, maybe that's a stretch, but seriously, I would be just livid with her. I mean, I remember telling her she was grounded at halftime of a game. She wasn't because she figured it out, but think about it. I mean, like, this is just stunning. I mean, this stuff can't happen. I mean, just complete collapse, no understanding of what to do, how to do it. And it's not even just the press. It's just late game situations. You can't give up a 3. So what do you do? Well, you give up 3s. What, you know, you can't foul shooters. Well, what do you do? You foul the shooter. I mean, And you can complain that it wasn't a foul, and that's fine. Yeah,
that doesn't matter Whatever. In the Big Ten. Because no, it doesn't. You can't put – I don't care what team you're on, Illinois or any other team. If you put your fate in the judgment call of a Big Ten ref, you're going to get screwed. Well, you deserve whatever you get.
Did Terrence Shannon get fouled when he tried to split that trap? Yeah, I thought he did. But you know what?
You still don't split a trap underneath your own basket.
Pass the ball. You're being trapped. There's pass the ball, get it out of there, and then they would have had to foul, and then you shoot free throws up four. Dame, Bradley, you win.
Brad, the problem, I'm not trying to be funny, buddy. Who the hell's open? I think they probably would have. There's nobody open. There's no one open.
But there is because there are two guys on hoping, you.
They were hoping to get the ball in bounds to get fouled, and they never fouled them. They were going for the steal every single time. Mathematically, I understand what you're saying, that there's two people on you. Somebody should be open. Now, I don't know. The camera view that we saw, now, one time they did mention a Coleman should flash, and I think he did. He went from half court to get the ball, and I think he threw it to Terrence or to Marcus. I never saw it after that. They shaded, and they made Illinois guess. But when Marcus Thomas got that basketball, he was not putting it on the floor. Terrence Shannon tried, and when he did, he turned it over. You are exactly right, but we fell right into their hand because there was no imagination.
But here's the thing, Ked. You know what's better than dribbling to a trap and turning it over?
It is bad.
Or even Damask. You know, Damask got that ball in the corner. He could have held that ball for 9 seconds. He could have held it for 9 seconds in the quarter and then called timeout. Right? I mean, don't give a live ball. Run clock. Don't give live ball turnovers. I've never understood, like, just don't have a live ball turnover. You're better off taking a 10-second. There's 18 seconds to go. They're trapping full court. Okay. I'll run it down to, worst case scenario, I run it down to 8 seconds. And I get a turnover, and I'm up four with 8 seconds to go. There's no need to do that. And that's like teaching them and coaching them. Exactly. But they can't panic. I don't understand it.
Brad, and I'll tell you another thing I've always taught my kids. If you know they're trapping, as soon as you they were doing it, as soon as you get the ball, go. Don't just turn your ass around and then wait to get trapped. Get it and go. You know what I'm saying to you? Because you just sit there, you fell right into their hands, and that's what they want. And I hate to say this, and you know, if I get criticized for it, it's time to go ahead and do it and take it like a man. Today was the day they paid for not having a true point guard, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I do think, I thought the main way they would get an early out in the Big Ten or in the NCAA tournament was if Coleman Hawkins gets in foul trouble. And I still think that's a huge danger for this team. But the other thing is they can't survive on a night that he goes 3 for 11 and has 5 turnovers. And I know that's not fair to Coleman, but this team is not good enough for him to not be on the floor defensively. And then when he's on the floor offensively, he can't be generating turnovers at that rate. And then when later on, when he got it under control from a turnover standpoint, then Domask and Shannon took their turn. And, you know, again, I look at this team and I still think it comes – I do, and maybe I'm naive, Brad. They've got the talent and they've shown that they can play defense. The coaches are going to have to dig down and they're going to have to look in the mirror and say, hey, you know what? My grand plan is not working.
But thank you. Thank you.
And so, look, we've all had to do it. We talked about it on past podcasts. We've had to suck it up and do things that wasn't really our plan. But we all wanted to win, and so we did our best. But I got to be honest with you, this playing the odds and letting somebody score, you know, 20 points or, yeah, he'll miss eventually. It leads down a very dark path. And I also think when you start playing defensively and you get a little lackadaisical, it's really hard to bring it back in a game. And I think they've got to figure out in practice, you know, how to put the defensive handcuffs back on. And they've got to make a point to do it at the start of a game. And they've got one of the worst opponents in the league to try to do that against. Because Iowa's a typical Iowa team. They can shoot from anywhere on the court, any one of the five of them.
Mike, they're averaging 84 points a game. They're second in the Big Ten. 84.34 in Illinois is 84.1. I'm going to tell you, Brad mentioned something a few minutes ago, and he's right. you have, I know we're not living our glory days. Well, one of the things my coach told me, well, I remember once, who was a legend in high school and a Hall of Famer, if, how does it feel when people guard your kid when it's tough? It's frustrating as hell. And Brad mentioned it. Inflict that same pain on other people. Make it tough for them. For some reason, and they have athletes. I know darn well, I've seen Ty Rogers get up and guard people. I've seen Terrence do it. I've seen Justin Harmon do it. If you don't like how that feels, make it uncomfortable for them. Because like I said earlier, if you, everybody's got the recipe. And I feel bad for Coleman. I want to say this for him. I mean, this was his worst game. I'm sorry. It was his worst game. Worst turnover for me was when he threw that tip pass to Luke Goody, when all he had to do was make a basic pass. But why I feel bad for him, he is told to sit there and let guys do that to him. Why do you think every center has a career day? These coaches know what Illinois is doing. They're going to let him score down there. Because if you, Coleman didn't even try to block a shot until the second half. I think he eventually got one because they know that's what they're doing. That's when I mentioned analytics. Whether we like it or not, that's what they're doing because everybody has killed their kid in the post and they're going to continue to do it. If they don't play defense, like I said to you, the internet's free. Google is free. Iowa averages 84 points a game. They just went to Michigan State and won. If you don't guard, that's going to be 109, 108 basketball game Saturday.
Brad?
There's not much left to say. I mean, they better figure it out quick. I mean, it's just extremely disappointing to watch this. You know, this is a team that shouldn't be losing to Penn State, especially, you know, Penn State's literally playing without their leading scorer, by the way, too, guys.
Yeah.
And they still scored 90. There's just no reason for it. It's just a lack of effort. It's a lack of intensity. I don't know. I don't know how you fix it. I'm just telling you, it's just not acceptable to lose this game. And upsets happen. Like you've heard me. I wasn't even that distraught when they lost to Maryland at home. They shot the ball poorly.
Yep.
They lost. You know, it was a bad loss, but they had a rough day. When they lost at Tennessee, when they lost to at Michigan State, I wasn't like, yeah, okay, they made some mistakes, but you know, it's not that I'm not that guy. I'm that guy today. Like I'm that guy. I don't understand why they don't change something. And this is, if you keep doing that, you know, the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing, expecting a different result. They're not suddenly going to become, oh, this is going to work. You know, Trent Frazier's not walking through that door to guard those guards. And Kofi Coburn's not going to be the center and drop coverage.
You know, so, yeah, and I love
it's
the
– time to change.
Yeah, no, and I love the Illini fans who are like, yeah, we'd be better. This team wouldn't be better without Kofi. And I'm like, oh, my God, if Kofi was on this team – but you know, the thing that gets me on this, and this is why I'm concerned, and this is why I think, you know, the players have to look in the mirror. They have to have responsibility for what they're doing on the court, but so do the coaches, because we've seen this now three times this year. We saw the loss at Michigan State. We saw the miracle win over Nebraska. And now we've seen this same plot. And you do not want to go into the NCAA with this, and they've got, you know, again, they've got a few games that they can try to right the ship, and then they've got the Big Ten tournament, which all of a sudden now I'm thinking maybe this means more than we thought it did. But they have got to get the defense fixed. And I'm not saying that they're going to be a top 10 defensive team, but they've got to get this thing turned around where it starts going trend lining in the right direction.
Make it tough. You can't just sit there and let people beat you off the dribble the way they've done it. I thought Marcus Domas is a better defender than what people give him credit for.
I agree.
He just got abused. And I'm going to tell you, I don't understand. And I'm listening. I'm telling you, I'm not saying I'm the god of basketball, but someone explained to me again why Luke Goody was in the game at the end, because like I said to you, I still have two of my eyeballs, and I know Ty Rogers is either tied or a better free throw shooter than he is. But at the, like in Michigan State, Luke was in the game again, and I'm really sorry. And today he was in again. I don't care if Ty had four fouls. It was a minute and 18 seconds to go on the clock. What the hell are you saving them for? Christmas again?
Yeah, you guys are a ball handler. How about another ball handler against pressure too?
Yes, and a guy that might get you another offensive rebound who's not afraid. And go back and watch again. He was on the bench. So that fifth I guess. I don't know. He was saving it for his birthday. I don't know. There's no way I would have done that. That's when you got – my mom always said to me, kid, they got 800 coaches over there. What are they saying? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you didn't learn from Michigan State by keeping him in the game. And I'm sorry. And I thought this was one of Luke's better games. Not upset about that. But at the end of the game, I would have had a ball handler in the game because you know darn well you were losing that. And I give Penn State credit. Their defense is really good, and they get away with a lot of grab and holes because, like we said the other day, no officiating crew is going to call it the entire game.
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. Like, kid, I'll tell you this. I'd rather have Draven Gibbs-Lahorn in at the end of the game. You know, here's the other thing. They had Damask inbound the ball, and it's amazing how they got the ball inbounds to Shannon when Damask inbounded at the end, because I know they're trying to get it to Marcus, but – Harmon's not a good inbounder.
No, not at all.
He hasn't been a good inbounder all year.
All year. Nope.
Why do we not see that, though? I mean, we see it. They have to see it.
Brad, and a lot of coaches, I don't like this. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't like, and I know why teams do it, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not a fan of it. Somebody wants to question it, I'll listen. Most teams, not all of them, like to have their guards who they think are better passers pass the ball about. But damn it, if you can't see over them, why would you do it? You can't do it. And they continue to do the same thing.
But isn't Damask your best passer? Doesn't he lead your team in assists?
Passer.
And he's 6 foot six.
I would have Coleman take it out because he's tall enough.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm okay
with that too.
Yep. I would have Coleman or Damask. And then the neat thing is who's your most likely guy to get the ball once the inbounder throws it?
Get it right back to the guy.
Exactly. I know. You go right back. And so I think this is one where, again, I think it's we are pretty much one of the more mellow of the Illini media contingent. It was a very frustrating game because it didn't need to happen, and it was a little bit like the slow motion car wreck. You could see it coming, and the only reason we could see it coming is because we watched Michigan State. We watched Nebraska, and we watched this. And at some point, I was waiting for someone to do something different. And
they ran with the coaches told them. I'm sorry.
I agree totally. When I said someone, I wasn't necessarily talking about the players because the players aren't going to freelance out there.
And you know what else things? How about wasting Terrence Shannon's 35 points tonight, whatever it was he had? What a waste. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we didn't go to Penn State. We saw this kid could potentially and probably will be the all-time leading scorer as far as points per game in the history of the school. He's scoring at will. He's literally putting up 30 every game. He's probably going to pass Zach Edey at some point. He's playing that well, and you waste it. I was thinking this whole time about a 3-seed. I don't want to – a 4-seed kind of bothers me. That's not happening. Brad, you're right. It is not happening. It's not. Well, I don't care about it.
Here's the thing. They got 35 out of Shannon. You got 15 points, 6 assists out of Damask. 35 points, 11 rebounds out of Shannon. 15 points, 6 assists out of Damask. And now what else? Nobody else was in double figures. You know, the whole balanced attack. I mean, shoot, you got as much out of Dane Danger and Draven Gibbs-Lahorn. Monty Hansberry had 4.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's going to be a player.
A good player. And here's the thing. I thought when Coleman was doing dumb things, it was good to get him out. I mean, it made sense. I mean, but I just don't understand it. And we're not going to figure it out because, you know, nobody's going to listen to us anyway, like as far as the way that goes. It's a team that can score 89 points. Teams that can score 89 points and lose. I mean, usually if you score – what was the – I think I saw this stat earlier. When Illinois only lost one game this year when they scored 85-plus. Well, gee, that's shocking. They should lose 0. And now they've lost 2 when they've scored 85-plus. I mean, this is an elite offensive team. I don't think there's anybody who's questioning that. But at some point, you got to guard.
I'm telling you, the approach, the analytic approach that they're taking has effectively taken the aggression out of the team.
Yep.
And so now they're counterpunchers on the defensive end. You can counterpunch in boxing. You can't counterpunch in basketball. you have to attack because guys are too good nowadays. Maybe in our day when nobody could shoot, you could kind of wake, oh, he's going to break it. But today's world, even Nick Kern can score 22 points.
But, you know, you say the analytic approach. What was the analytic approach in this game?
I don't know. Let them score in the lane. I don't know.
They let them shoot threes too.
Yeah. Well, okay. Then let them shoot from everywhere. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Let them shoot from everywhere. They're not a good shooting team, so we'll let them shoot from everywhere.
They didn't do a good job defending the three. They were 8 of 18 from three. So, I mean, they didn't do a good job defending the three or the two. They defended free throws quite well.
If I hadn't seen this same thing for a third game, I would be a little less annoyed.
Yeah, but no, I'm just saying I don't understand it. Like, if you're going to be an analytics approach, then friggin' be an analytics approach.
Yeah, well,
you can't
give
up all those 3-point attempts
and those points in the paint, and you know
exactly.
But I do think once you tell a player to stop attacking, it's really hard to get them back into that mode, and I think this is. This Illini team, and this is the difference, and I know the good old days. I'm not saying the flying Illini could shoot like today's Illini. I'm not saying that. But the one thing they were pretty good at is when they had somebody down, they tore their throat out and kicked their head in. And that is what this team needs.
They do.
And they don't have that killer instinct.
I can say this team might be the best offensive team I've watched at Illinois. I mean,
you could say that they are.
Yes.
But they're also the worst defensive team I think I've watched. I mean, I'm serious. I don't even know. I'm going back to go back to the KenPom era, go back in the history of Illinois basketball. This team's ranked, 58th on defense? And I guess there have been a couple. The only team that's worse was Underwood's first 2 years when they were trying to seal every pass.
Right. Well, I was going to go to
Gross
that.
Gross had a year.
Yeah.
Gross had 1 year when they were terrible, but you know, that's one thing. Say what you want. I mean, go back to Self and Weber and Kruger.
Oh yeah,
they never had a defense like this.
Yes, and so I gotta wonder on the bench. Here's where I'll get us in trouble. We'll wrap up the podcast. But every time I look at the bench, it's Brad talking to Tyler. Well, guess what? Tim Anderson's there. Chester Frazier's there. How about talking to them? Because these guys. Chester Frazier is a defensive god. And if nothing else, he can maybe inspire that. But I just think you got to get some new ideas going in here. And I would be looking at Chester saying, all right, man, defense is yours.
I mean, last year you look at their defense last year, their adjusted defensive efficiency was 26th. And that was with like a bunch of freshmen playing. I mean, and Dane Danger playing 20 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And they were still, you know.
But they were more they were more aggressive. They were more aggressive.
They're just
and that right now it's like, oh, I don't want to foul. I don't want to hurt somebody. I don't know what it is, you know. And I want, you know, Ty Rogers, I can see why he's getting fouls because he keeps getting caught in the middle of nowhere. Like, should I be more aggressive or should I fall all the way back? And so he's in the middle, and that's the worst place to be. And then you're hesitant. You don't know quite what to do. Man, you need a guy like Ty Rogers. You need to just unleash him and say, attack. You don't need any of these, like, complicated if-then situations for him. You just say, Ty, you're 6'6", you're quick as hell, you're fast as hell, you're strong as hell. Don't let that guy score. I don't know. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it. Well, folks.
No, you're not. Sometimes it's toughness.
Yeah, that's really where we've got to cut this short tonight. We will be on after the Iowa game. Being that it's on a Saturday, we may have to have a couple brewskis to help us get through it. But we will be back. And, folks, you got to go to IlliniGuys.com. It is going to be it's going to be crazy on the boards tonight. It's going to – fur's going to fly. But this Illinois team has – a decision to make, both the coaches and the players. What do you want to be and what do you want your legacy at Illinois? They have an opportunity to get past the first weekend, but things have to change if they want to do that. The offense is playing okay. The defense is not. So figure it out. With that, We will be back in 1 minute to wrap everything up.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills. 800-218-4958. 800-218-4958. 800-218-4958. That's 800-218-4958.
Well, hey, I survived the podcast. That's nice. But boy, this was a very painful loss for the Illini. We did some of our fighting Illini whining tonight. We apologize for that, but very frustrating victory that felt a lot like a rerun on TV, which made it less endearing. We will be back on Saturday after the Iowa game. Let's hope that the Illini pull out a little bit of tricks to play a little bit of defense, because if they don't, that Iowa team's going to go for 110. Go Illini!
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.